Well, when you talk about how much is at stake for them, it kind of raises me back, gets me back to this point that you made before about never do they more need the people to go along with what they're doing, you know, and quietly accept it and not to question it and definitely not to rise up and resist it. That seems to me to be even more underscored, you know, and I think a part of how they've gone at it is the thing of confronting people with an overwhelming people on a couple of fronts. One front being that they have come and very quickly and in a very all-around way impose some of these repressive measures, and then also trying to overwhelm people with a sense that everybody's with it, and if you're not, you're the only one, so you should shut the fuck up and just go along.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, as I said earlier, they don't base, you know, they don't give a damn about the people in this country, you know, let alone throughout the world. And they don't base what they do, despite their talk about how this is a democracy and, you know, the will of the people prevails and all that. There is a ruling class which controls the society, and they don't operate on the basis, and they're not motivated by what the people want or care about, you know, or what their where their real interests lie, you know. But they do have a need, you know, as Lenin pointed out, to at least get the acceptance of the people, you know, to at least get the, you know, the acquiescence of the people. And they do need to drag people into political life sometimes in order to be, you know, in this era, in order to be able to do what they're setting out to do. And they do need even international coalitions. You know, there's been this whole thing about this whole debate that's been sort of somewhat out in the open within the ruling class, you know, and different spokesmen for different institutions in the ruling class about, well, you know, we need a coalition, but should the coalition set the terms for the mission, or does the mission set the terms for the coalition? You know, and there's, you know, there's been some, you know, the people who said, well, we have to be careful, you know, about not undermining our coalition, have said, you know, that if we just go striking out in all directions at once, or we don't win over people before we launch an attack on Iraq, for example, the thing, you know, could blow back on us, as they like to say. But the line has come from the Rumsfeld, and, you know, the real hardcore of this has been, no, we have to, the mission, we need to try to unite people in a coalition, but the mission has to determine the coalition, not the other way around. Otherwise, as Rumsfeld said, the mission will get dumbed down to the lowest common denominator. So they have their sort of perverse united front under their baton, you know, and they have, of course, England running right alongside of them. You know, they have, you know, although it's an imperialist power in its own right, it's much diminished from its days when the sun never set in its empire, and now it's kind of like the chihuahua running alongside the big dog U.S. imperialism, and the big dog barks, and the British go, you know, but they do need, besides just the British, to have a broader coalition at every point. You know, but they're not going to let that coalition set the terms of the mission, as they say. They have their own aims and ambitions as, you know, the top dog imperialists, and they're going to act in accordance with that. And other people can come along, you know, and find their place in relation to that, and they'll pay some attention to the diplomacy of it. But that's the deal, and you relate to it as that. Like Bush said, you're either with us or against us. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists, even in those terms. And similarly, within the U.S., while they don't rule on the basis of what the people want or need or what their real interests are, they do have a need for the people to accept what they're doing. And even some ways, they need to mobilize the population behind what they're doing, including because they know there are going to be sections of the population that are going to oppose what they're doing. And they're going to people, but there are going to be people around the world massively who are going to oppose what they're doing. So they do have a real need to mobilize the people behind them and to get them to fall in line, and for those who can't or won't fall in line, to be intimidated and suppressed in terms of building any resistance. So I think this is very relevant. You know, the point you brought up from Lenin about never are the governments in such need of the you know, the support of the people, or at least the acquiescence of the people, as when they go off to war, and especially once again when they're waging an open-ended war like this. So it is very, you know, all this is a way of saying it is very important for them to both, you know, to convince people to go along with them and to bludgeon them into going along with them, including by intimidating them through repression and creating this atmosphere and this, you know, this virtual reality, quote unquote, that everybody already goes along and therefore you must go along too. And, you know, people, you know, it's hard for people to oppose in this kind of a situation. So, but this is a reflection, as you're pointing out, of the deeper fact that they're in need of this kind of support. You know, that they appear to be very strong at the beginning of a situation like this. And in certain ways, they do have real strengths now. And they have achieved certain real things in Afghanistan, although they're still encountering problems there. You know, and it should be remembered that the Soviets also succeeded in stabilizing, you know, Afghanistan and occupying the cities under their rule when they first came in with their troops and reinforced basically a puppet regime there. So it remains to be seen even what happens in Afghanistan over a period of time. But, you know, as more generally than that, as things develop, they're going to run into contradictions. They're going to run into, you know, unleashed forces that they hadn't anticipated. And things are going to have the potential to get out of hand in serious ways and may even get out of hand in serious ways. And, you know, there'll be many repercussions from what they're doing, and masses of people are going to be rising up against it in various ways. There's going to be a lot of turmoil and a lot of volcanic eruptions in different ways. And they need to have not only have the support of people now, but they need to create the conditions where if things do begin to get out of hand and there are all these volcanic eruptions, it's much more difficult for people to mount resistance. So what they're doing now is rallying people behind them, but also trying to create the conditions where they'll be able to intimidate and, as necessary, outright crush opposition that would develop as things further develop and intensify. So this should be seen partly as a strength of theirs, but also as as a strategic vulnerability of theirs. You know, and the way they're acting now is a necessity they have. You know, they, as you point out, you know, referring to Lenin, they have a need for the people, and this need is never greater than when they go to war, and especially given the fact they declared an open-ended war like this.